We are here. It is the 15th of March, Saturday night in the NBA. One more day potentially in your season if you're in your fantasy playoffs and things aren't looking good. Maybe it's the start of your playoffs next week. We're all positioned a bit differently. We'll talk about all of the games. There's some weird performances. It's that time of year we're getting guys doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing, to be honest. And then we're getting players who aren't doing what we would hope. We will talk about all of it right now. This is the Saturday Postgame Show. Let's go. Balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Come on, brothers with me. Come on, brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Or at Dan Bespris. Go and hit him up if you've got any questions. If you're into baseball, because is baseball just starting, maybe? Am I right? I don't know. I know very little about baseball. He has some baseball content over there as well. So you can go all year long with the old men. 8 games to get through. Now, this will be my last show for at least, I would say, 2 days. Definitely no show tomorrow. Probably not the following day. Maybe the day after. So we will keep our fingers crossed and see how we go. But here we are for tonight's games. Let's get into them, 8 of them. The first game of the evening, Boston. Ooh, lucky they get the win over Brooklyn, 115-113. Kristaps Porzingis returned. He was on a minutes restriction but played 32 minutes, probably a lot more than they wanted him to play. Very weird box score for him, 24 points, which is good. 2 rebounds, 1 block, nothing else. Obviously working back into it, he has been out for a couple of weeks, but good to have him back on the floor. Drew Holiday, another productive game, 11 and 12, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He's been much better over the last few games. Look, at this time of year, if you want to take a flyer on him, you can, but just be aware that he's probably going to miss the odd game here or there, as Derek White did tonight. So there's lots of risk with basically anyone on this roster at the moment. Jaylen Brown actually left this game as well with an injury. Probably going to miss a week. I don't know. Jason Tatum had 28 and 8. Look, we hold him. We hold Porzingis. We hold Jaylen Brown. Pritchard is sort of doing enough. He's playing most games, so he's probably worth holding as well. He isn't super appealing. He did have 22 points in this one, but they were playing Brooklyn. Let's look at the Brooklyn side of things. So we got news earlier today. Let me just fix this up. Out of Brooklyn, that Cam Thomas, surprise, surprise, aggravated his hamstring again for it's the third injury of the same body part. He is done for the season. Certainly makes sense. So you can go ahead and drop him, as I did. Picked up Cason Wallace. Pretty happy with that. So with him out, we just get a little bit more of Zaire Williams, a bit more Keon Johnson. They're probably the two biggest winners from the Cam Thomas injury. Let's look at tonight's box score, though. Cam Johnson had 23, 10, and 6. Look, to be honest, a lot of the production here is 12-team worthy, but is Cam Johnson going to play all the games? Probably not. Is D'Angelo Russell? No. Is De'Ron Sharp going to start? No. Nick Claxton will probably return tomorrow, barring any news that we're not aware of. De'Ron Sharp had 9 and 16, no blocks. Come on, man. I'll read you through a box score from one of my leagues and how frustrating this time of the year can be. So De'Ron Sharp was good. Nick Claxton will return. Sharp will be more of a streamer than anything else. Keon Johnson, I'm sort of okay with holding him because he's going to play every game. He's going to play probably 30 minutes a game. Same for Zaire Williams. Williams had 14, 5 and 2 with a steal and a block. Keon Johnson, 21, 6 and 2 with a steal. Jalen Wilson had 15 points off the bench. He's probably the next tier down, as is Tyrese Martin. Their minutes are typically more in the low to mid-20s, as we saw in this one. But yes, do expect Nick Claxton back tomorrow. Noah Clowney could come back as well. Trendon Watford. So there are a few names to come back into this team. Second game of the night, the Thunder get the win over the Pistons, 113 to 107. Somewhat spiteful clash. Cade was ejected in this one. JB Bickerstaff had some, he had some words, didn't he, in the post-game press conference. Just search it up on Twitter. He's very to the point. He's fully aware that he's going to get a fine, but I don't think he cares. And honestly, a lot of the stuff he was saying was not wrong. I watched a lot of this game. Shea gets a lot of favorable calls. There was a call where they called a defensive foul on Tim Hardaway because Shea basically just fell over. And they did reverse the decision, so the right decision was made. But the fact that the referees even called this because it wasn't close, he tried to look for contact with his feet and just fell. I'm not sure why that's not a flop. To me, it should be. He should get tech fouled for that. Players should be tech fouled for that. Didn't happen. He didn't get an offensive foul. He didn't really draw contact, but for the flopping part of it, to me, that's not in the spirit of the game. And Shea gets a lot of those calls now. JB Bickerstaff was right in saying that the Pistons do play a physical brand of basketball. They always have that. That's Detroit basketball. But it's not dirty. Cade is physical. He's not a dirty player. None of these, Isaiah Stewart aside, most of the guys on this team, I would not consider them dirty players. They're a physical team. That's how they grind. They get in the grind as they did in this one. They almost won. So, yeah, look, I certainly don't disagree with the fact that they didn't get many calls in this one. Inconsistency is a league-wide problem when it comes to officiating, and it's always going to be. It is somewhat unavoidable when you have so many officials, and it is subjective. But to me, there needs to be some sort of a line in the sand, I suppose, when it comes to being able to approach referees. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but for me as a player, the most frustrating part of playing, and obviously I'm at a much, 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 much lower level, but the thinking is the same, is that if you want to approach a referee with a question, I think that should be fine. If you get aggressive, sure, tech foul, don't come back at me, whatever. But if you're just wanting to ask a question, which in this situation, there were a few instances where JB Bickerstaff wanted to question the referees and they basically told him to shut up or he was going to get a tech foul, where Mark Dagnall, he let the refs have it in this one. He had some questions of his own and they just let him come at them. There needs to be some consistency there, one way or the other. If you don't want to let them talk to you, you're obviously not going to make any friends within the league. But one or the other. You don't let certain coaches get away with certain things and certain players, but it's been an issue in the league for years and years and years. And I do think that this whole protecting the shooter thing has gone way too far. You look at some of these shooters just throwing their legs out to try and land on players' feet so that they can get a flagrant or a foul, whatever it is. They do it a lot. It's certainly gone too far, I think. Yes, we need to protect the shooters, but this is not NBA. This is college. I saw a couple of calls in what game was it? I was watching a college game yesterday. I can't remember what it was. And just a flagrant foul that was called was clearly not a flagrant foul. They don't – if defenders take that's sort of going off on another tangent there, but – Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to go down there. It's just frustrating. Let's look at the Thunder. Shea was very good, 48 points. Basically just went ISO in this one because outside of Kayson Wallace, there wasn't a lot going on for them. He does get a little bit boring to watch, Shea, because his moves, I mean, phenomenal player, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it is just driving into traffic, getting contact and hitting a fadeaway jumper. He does it a lot, gets a bit monotonous. But if you've got him on your fantasy team, you're very happy. Hartenstein had 12 and 10 with 3 blocks and 2 steals. Lou Dort got injured in this one, a hip issue. So if you added Kayson Wallace because of the Jalen Williams injury, he gets a further bump now, keeping in mind that the Thunder don't have a good schedule next week. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Yes, they're on a back-to-back right now, next week. So I will probably move on from Kayson Wallace for next week if I make it through this round. Alex Caruso had 3 points but did have 3 steals and a block in his 21 minutes. Now, does he play tomorrow? Not sure. Second night of a back-to-back. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow, I guess. If Lou Dort misses time, which I think he probably will, it's probably just Isaiah Joe that moves into the starting lineup there. Does Chet come back? Maybe. There's a few different things here, but there's not really anyone I'd be running to add. As for Detroit, Cade, as I said, he got ejected in this one, 11, 7, and 9, so not his best performance. Jalen Duren also very quiet here, 8 points, 5 rebounds, just wasn't engaged at all. 5 rebounds, it wasn't his night. Hold, clearly hold. Asar Thompson, I think we can move on from. 8 points, a steal, 21 minutes. There's no reason for this minutes restriction other than I think JB Bickerstaff just doesn't necessarily need him on the floor. He's an interesting fit, as we know. Tobias Harris had 18 and 7, nothing else. That's a very Tobias game. Malik Beasley, 15 points. Dennis Schroeder had 17 and 11. He played a little bit more here with Cade out, so don't go running to add Dennis Schroeder after this performance. And Isaiah Stewart turning into a nice defensive streamer, 3 blocks, 2 steals in his 18 minutes. We're sort of looking at his ceiling there, given Jalen Duren played poorly in this one, but still played 29 minutes compared to Isaiah Stewart's 18. I think we're pretty safe in assuming that Stewart is not going to be a must roster player anytime soon. Just turn my phone off there. No one needs to hear that. Okay, game number 3. Gee, it took a long time to get through that Detroit game. Stupid referees. Miami lose to the Grizzlies. Not even close. Miami, very, very ordinary in this one. I don't even want to talk about them. They're so depressing. Khalil Ware started and had 19 and 11. That's good, but he hadn't been starting. If you want to go and add him, sure, but I certainly don't think this means he starts and plays 30-plus minutes every night. Bam had 18 points. Tyler Hero, 8 points on 3 of 12 shooting. They were really poor in this one. So I'm not adding anyone. I'm not dropping anyone, I don't think. Wiggins, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, they are our must roster players. Everyone else is stream and nothing more. Terry Rozier is even less. God, he's been bad, hasn't he? For the Grizzlies, no Ja Morant. He was out with a shoulder. Well, he's ongoing shoulder issues. It was a back-to-back. Maybe they view Miami as an easy win, which it was. So, yeah, I would expect him to return for the next game. With him out, Luke Kennard started 11 and 4. That's okay if you streamed him in. Zach Edey had 12, 8 and 2 blocks in his 27 minutes. With Jaren Jackson back playing well, we can move on from Brandon Clark. We can, well, obviously, Jay Huff, we weren't really adding him anyway. But, make sure Jaren Jackson wasn't dropped. And if he was, go and pick him up. Scottie Pippen had 11 and 11, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Now, this came without Jar, of course, but he has been playing minutes in the low 20s. He's been getting steals, assists. So he seems to be back in favour. I don't mind holding him as a stream sort of specialist guy and just see how he goes over the next few games. And that was it, because Miami were boring, so I didn't want to talk about them. Let's go to the next one. The Pacers go down to the Bucks. They made it interesting. They pushed hard. They almost got there. 126-119 in the end for the Pacers. Aaron Nesmith had 30 points. No, I'm not running to add Aaron Nesmith. This was a good game if you had him for tonight, but I'm not, I'm not dropping anyone significant to go and add him. Siakam, Halliburton, Turner are our must roster players. Nesmith, Nembhard are our streamers. Even TJ, sadly, is not really a streamer at this point. Benedict Mathurin has just been terrible the last couple of games, 6 points. We thought he'd figured it out early in the season. He was playing well. He was getting rebounds, but... don't we look like the fool falling for that? So Benedict Mathurin still not there as a 12-team player. And the Bucks, much like the Heat, but for a very different reason, are also a very boring team to talk about. Giannis, very good. Dame, good. Lopez coming off that huge game. This is more like what we get from Lopez. 2 rebounds. There you go. That's interesting. 2 rebounds in 33 minutes for a guy that's about 9 foot tall. 0 blocks. He's been, for me, he's been, I'll say serviceable this season. And that's putting it nicely, I think. Kyle Kuzma, don't need to hold him as long as the Bucks are healthy, which I think they're going to try and roll with Dame and Giannis as much as possible, given they need to win basketball games. All right. The Bulls, 114, lose to the Rockets, 117. We had Nikola Vucevic played 29 minutes, so his minutes were up in this one. Yeah, we can move on from Zach Collins quite clearly. Collins had 5 points, 5 rebounds, and a block in 19 minutes. No reason to be holding him. Just obviously you want to tuck it away in the back of your mind. If Vuce does go down with recurrence of the calf injury or anything like that, go and add Zach Collins. Kevin Huerter, who'd been playing pretty well, 9 points a steal, but the minutes were pretty good. He had 34 of them. Trey Jones had 33 minutes, 19 and 6 for him. I'd be holding Trey Jones, maybe Kevin Huerter. Buzelis is more 50-50, I think. He's a rookie. He's figuring things out. He's okay. He's playing at least. Bench guys, no. Why does Patrick Williams still have a job? I can't answer that one. Josh Giddey is getting closer, but I still think he's probably a game or two away. And Lonzo Ball, I wouldn't be surprised if he's done for the year. They haven't said that, but they have said that his wrist injury is not progressing as expected. For Houston, there was no Tari Eason, second night of a back-to-back for him. Fred VanVleet, he's clearly his best game in a month. 23 points, 7 assists, and a block in 35 minutes. So the minutes are probably the most encouraging thing there. Şengün had 24, 15, and 4. So really nice across-the-board performance for him with no Tari Eason. Jabari Smith started and had 12 and 9. Is he a hold? He probably is, I guess. He's not an exciting one. I'd have him over Dylan Brooks, though. Steven Adams had 9 rebounds. We know that he is a rebound streamer and nothing more. But Tari Eason will come back for the next game. And I don't think the Rockets have another back-to-back, at least not for quite a while. So hopefully that means we get full weeks of Tari Eason. And obviously he's been very important to them. And with Amen Thompson still out for another week, probably. Eason should continue to play very big minutes. All right. The next one, Pelicans, they lose to the Spurs, 119-115. Entertaining game. There was no Eve Misi, continues to be out with the ankle injury. No Zion. He was out for personal reasons. I'm not sure what they were. It's a bit of a bummer. If you had him on your roster, end of the playoff or end of the matchup and you lose Zion for... Not sure why. Anyway, with him out, Kelly Olynyk returned. Olynyk was pretty good, 14, 6, and 7 with a steal. You can stream him. You can't hold him with any confidence. Matkovic, who's had a pretty good opportunity the last week, hasn't really made the most of it. He had 12 and 11, but no blocks, no steals, no threes. So he's been fine, but I really don't think he's someone we have to hold. I would assume Misi will come back at some point as well. Bruce Brown had 19, 6 and 6. He'd been terrible before this, so much like Olynyk, you can stream him in. I don't think you need to do anything else. Alvarado, 5 assists. He'd been better than this. He'd been getting steals, and he still played 28 minutes. Obviously, no Zion helped. But, I'm okay holding Alvarado if you need steals and assists because he has been getting those. All right, for the Spurs, let's move that up a little bit. Devin Vassell continues to play quite well. Didn't shoot the ball exceptionally well here, but he had 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Stephon Castle, who's starting and playing big minutes now with De'Aaron Fox gone and Chris Paul, well, mentally, is he still there? I don't know. Castle had 17 and 7 in 36 minutes. So make sure he's rostered. Chris Paul is really just a streamer at the moment. 6 assists and a steal in 22 minutes. I don't think he's played more than 25 minutes in, what, a week, 2 weeks maybe. So I don't think we need to be holding him. Or Biombo. Harrison Barnes had 19 points. Pick him up for points, then move on. Some interesting numbers on the bench here, though. Jeremy Sochan had 14, 5, and 4 with a steal and a block. And this is what we were getting at the start of the year. 31 minutes for Sochan. Does this stick? I'm not confident. Keldon Johnson had 19 points in his 30 minutes. Julian Champagne, 12, 4, and 3 with a block. And Sandro Mamukelashvili had 10 and 7 in his 12 minutes. Johnson and Sochan would be my preferences if you're looking to stream when they play. I don't think you need to run and add them, though, because the Spurs are just mixing and matching when it comes to their rotation. We did get a bit of an update on Charles Bassey as well. He is progressing well, and they would like to get him back in the lineup. That means very little, but there's an update at least. Okay. What are we at? Second last game? Knicks. The Knicks go down to the Warriors 97-94 for the Knicks. Josh Hart continues to struggle a little bit. 0 of 7 from the field for 0 points. He did have 7 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal and a block. So those counting stats are pretty good, but obviously that top 20 production he was putting up for a big chunk of the season is not with us anymore. He will be better than this, though. OG Anunoby, he has played well lately. 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. Cat had 29 and 12 with a block. And Bridges, 19, 6 and 3, along with McBride, who had 19 points. So we roster all 5 of those guys. And don't really worry about anyone else. Jalen Brunson, we got a bit of an update. He is out probably until April. We sort of said when this happened it was going to be a month. Early April would put us at a month. So they have said late March, early April. I wouldn't expect to see him until early April. It was quite a significant ankle sprain. So if you're in the playoffs, you can move on from him, I think, if your league is going to wrap up before the calendar flips to April. I think you're okay to move on from him. For the Warriors, they keep churning away, don't they? Jimmy Butler, I'm not going to say it was bad, but it wasn't good. 11, 6, and 7 with a steal. It's fine. Draymond Green started at center in this one, not Quinton Post. 9 points for him with a steal and a block. He is just your peripheral specialist if you need rebounds, assists, defensive stats. Curry had 28 points. Moody had 18. We're holding Moody until Pajemski is back. Kuminga had 10 points off the bench in his 20 minutes. Now, remember, Kuminga had periods this season where he was not a 12-team player. He was playing very well before his injury, but it's probably going to be a little bit up and down for the next week to 2 weeks, I think. Just given the length of time he had off. And Quinton Post, you can stream him. He's only playing 20, 22 minutes, whether he's starting or coming off the bench. 5 points, 6 rebounds, and a block for him. And I don't want to talk about Buddy Hield because I couldn't be bothered. Last game, Interesting. Washington, they beat the Nuggets 126-123. What is going on here? For the Wizards, Chris Middleton played but didn't play much. It wasn't him doing the damage. This is why we don't need to hold Chris Middleton. Jordan Poole had 19 and 6 with a steal and a block. He's still doing enough, obviously, when he plays. And he has been pretty healthy, which has been nice. Justin Champagne, going at him, 39 minutes, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 2 steals. I managed to pick him up in a league this morning, which was very nice. Keyshawn George also has to be rostered, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. Unlike a lot of rookie guards, he seems to be figuring things out, which is very nice for fantasy. Alex Saar, his best game, probably. I can't remember him having a better game than this, especially against someone like Nikola Jokic. He shot the ball 28 times, 34 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block. Does he play the rest of the season? Oh, I'd probably say 70-30 chance that he does. Make sure he's rostered. Bob Carrington, 9 points, 7 assists. More of a specialist. I'm not super intrigued in him. I'd much rather Keyshawn George or Justin Champagne. For Denver, now they were healthy. There was no Aaron Gordon, but other than that, fully healthy. Jokic had 40, 13, and 9. 2 blocks, 1 steal. Jamal Murray had 24 points. He did leave this game briefly, but was able to return. Now he was probable. He wasn't on the injury report initially. Then he was added to the injury report as questionable with knee inflammation or swelling or something. He played. I would keep an eye on him. Given he left this game, he's dealing with, as a lot of players are, bangs, bruises, things like that. He could miss a game here coming up. Christian Brown had 9 points, only took 4 shots. Very passive from him, but he's obviously been very good. Michael Porter Jr. has been fine. And Westbrook, as long as Gordon is out, Westbrook has to be added. And we don't concern ourselves with their bench. All right, coffee time. And let's get into questions from Ricardo. Should I start Poeltl and Orlando together tomorrow if my team needs rebounds and field goals? Yeah, I think you could. Yep. I will be hunting the waiver wire tonight for similar players. Alex, good luck with my surgery. Thank you. Yes. Hopefully by this time tomorrow I'm all done, all fixed, and maybe home, maybe not. We'll see. What do I think of Jeff Doughton as a stream tomorrow? Josh suggests Jared Butler, but Doughton has been better. It's a coin flip, really. Either or. I've added Jared Butler in a league, but if you want to add Jeff Doughton, I think Butler has slightly more upside in assists, but if you want to go Doughton, that's fine. I think they both are worth streaming in. Lowndes, good luck with the surgery. Thank you. Holding Valanciunas, yes. I forgot to drop him in 2 leagues yesterday, so I will just hold him. Now, they don't play tomorrow, so, yeah, they do play Monday, pretty sure. But no game tomorrow. So, yes, I would be holding him. There's no word from the Kings on if Sabonis is going to miss time. We would assume that he would here, but we don't know for sure. And we know that these NBA teams tend to downplay soft tissue injuries until they're ruled out for the season, like Cam Thomas. Are we adding Ware again? Like I said when I did the recap there, if you want to, I think that's okay. But this was more of an outlier based on what we've seen recently. Okay, best stream for tomorrow in a points league. Butler, Doughton, Kessler, there's a lot of names there. All right, points league. Well, is Kessler going to play? He's not on the injury report, but apparently that doesn't mean he's not going to play. Let's go. Let's go maybe Shaden. Lawson's been playing quite well. There is no Quickly tomorrow. He's just out for whatever reason. They might be on a back-to-back, actually. I think the Raptors. Let me just double-check that. I'm sure I had looked ahead and thought to myself, Quickly might only play one or two games this week because he's on a back-to-back. Let's have a look. Sunday. So they do play. They play Portland tomorrow, and then they. And then they play the Suns. So, yes, they are on a back-to-back. So I would expect quickly back for that second game, and Poeltl probably sits out the second game. So we're obviously holding Orlando Robinson and possibly even – what's his name? Man, I even picked him up in a league. I can't even think of what his name is. I'll pull it up in a sec. So, look, let's go Shaden, maybe Lawson – and then Butler or Doughton, I guess. I don't know. It's as I said, it's really luck of the draw at this time of the year. Yes, I've got a few matchups like this tomorrow. So in one league, I'm down in by three blocks. That'll be the category. I think rebounds maybe, but I should get rebounds. So it will come down to blocks. Actually, I'm going to read that league out to you now because it happens. I'm not angry or anything, but it's annoying when on my team. So this is my team. I have Anthony Davis in this team. So to be fair, I'm fighting an uphill battle anyway. But on my roster, where's my team? Okay, so on my roster, and I'm losing blocks. I have Anthony Davis, of course. Nick Richards, Walker Kessler, Mark Williams. Brandon Clark, Isaiah Hartenstein, Dayron Sharp, Jalen Duren, Carlo Matkovic. So all shot blockers, and I'm losing shots, blocks. Today I got zero from Jalen Duren, zero from Dayron Sharp, zero from Carlo Matkovic, three from Hartenstein, which was nice. I also have Scotty Barnes, and he is a pretty good shot blocker for a guard slash forward. Yesterday I had zero blocks from Mark Williams, zero from Colin Castleton, zero from Walker Kessler because he didn't play, zero from Brandon Clark, zero from Scotty Barnes. So we'll see. I think I'm losing by three blocks maybe. And tomorrow I have Walker Kessler maybe. I have Mark Williams. And then I've got a pick. Either Hartenstein or Nick Richards, probably. I have Scotty Barnes going. I have Caruso, but is he going to play? Maybe not. So I'm going to have to stream someone, but there is not much on the waiver. So it's happening to all of us. And yes, stats. And for me, I will be in hospital, so I will not have my phone with me. So I'm actually not going to be able to set my lineups. I'll be able to set them early. But if there's any, if Kessler is ruled out, because I'm assuming they probably play late, do they? Where are we? Sunday. Utah play. They play at 10 a.m. out my time here. I have to be at the hospital at 8:30 a.m. That doesn't mean my surgery is at 8:30. So maybe I will here. Maybe I'll get lucky. But yeah, there's a chance tomorrow I could set my lineups and then wake up from my surgery and I might be happy, I might be sad. What have we got? Okay, let's go Keyshawn George or Champagne to replace Paul George. What do you need? Champagne's a pretty good rebounder. Keyshawn George is better defensively, I think. So points are probably going to be comparable, maybe Champagne slightly. But if you need defensive stats, I'd go Keyshawn George. Yes, Joseph, we hold Jonas until we hear about Sabonis. Did I see the Mavs news that they might forfeit? I did. More context what that means, since you don't, it just means the game won't go ahead. That's it. The other team wins and you get no fantasy stats. So whoever they play Philly tomorrow. Let's have a look at the – so Jaden Hardy is doubtful tomorrow, so they're trying to get a lineup together. So currently they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6, 7 players available tomorrow. They need 8. So I think they'll be okay. The issue will be the two-way contracts. So Brandon Williams – only has a certain number of games, as does Kai Jones. So they're going to be the question marks there. And I don't think they can sign anyone. That's where the issue is. So I don't think these forfeits are coming now. I think they'll probably be in 2 weeks. But we could get Jaden Hardy back in a week. So he's another body on the floor. I mean, does Lively come back in 2 weeks? Who knows? Probably not. Gafford, probably not. Anthony Davis, probably not. So I don't think we're going to get a forfeit tomorrow, for example. But if and when a forfeit does come, that's what it means. It just means the other team wins, there is no game, and you get no fantasy stats. Given the Mavs' injuries, would I risk streaming Mavs? Well, they only have 2 games this week anyway, or next week. So we're probably not really streaming any of them anyway. Yes, the usage will be very good because there's no one there. But with only 2 games, it's probably risky anyway. All right, what have we got? Oh, Chad's with us. Does Dayron have a role next year? Or having a role next year hinge on whether Nets fall in the lottery, or could he be gone? Yeah, look, it'll come down to the lottery, I suppose, and whether they draft a center. Look across their roster. What do they need? I mean, Claxton's fine. I don't think Claxton's great. I don't think he's sort of someone you can build around. So do they look for a center? They also are very limited in terms of their offensive spacing. So, yeah, do they look for a center who can space the floor? They probably could do with a better point guard, obviously. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, who knows what he's going to do next year. He doesn't look like he wants to be there. And they're not really without anyone. D'Anthony Melton is out for the season, but he's not a point guard. They're a bit of a mess, the Nets. So I would love to see Dayron Sharpe land somewhere, whether it is sticking in Brooklyn or going somewhere else and playing 25, 26 minutes, but I don't know whether that's going to happen. Alex, Keyshawn has been dropped and you plan to use your claim on him. Drop Trey Jones or Justin Champagne. Amen in IR, will need to drop again. Playoffs start tomorrow, but have the bye. Ooh, just have a look at something. So it would probably be Trey Jones for me, only because if your playoffs don't start till the following week, Josh Giddey could be back. So Trey Jones may not be playing as big a role, where I think Champagne is just locked in now. He's going to play 30-plus minutes, as is Keyshawn. So it's probably Trey Jones. Justin Champagne or Klingon for Monday, I'd go Champagne in a points league especially. Is Walker Kessler a drop? I'm going to say no because ask me tomorrow, because if he doesn't play tomorrow, I'll say yes. But he can get you 6 blocks, and that can win. If he gets 6 blocks tomorrow, I probably win blocks. So I don't think he is just yet. Amen Thompson, a drop, playoffs start this week. He's probably out another week. So if you think you can ride him and leave him in an IR spot for a week, I probably would. But yeah, if it's going to be a really tight matchup and you just need bodies on the floor, then you might have to do that. Joseph, Norm Powell questionable. Yes, he is. But is he a drop? Worried about minutes restriction, rest. I dropped him. When did he get injured? 2 weeks ago or week and a half or something? I dropped him. He still hasn't been picked up. Look, he's... We know how good he's been this year, and they do need him. But, yes, minutes restriction and rest back-to-backs, absolutely. I think both of those will be in effect at least for the first week. So he's probably viewed as more of a streamer until he's back to 32 minutes a night. Another one from Slat. Do we think Tatum or Drew miss some games next week with their schedule? And do we expect LeBron playing Monday? No, I don't expect LeBron to play for at least another 1 to 2 weeks. Tatum or Drew miss some games next week? Yeah, I think they probably do. Let me just have a look at their schedule. Okay, so Boston only have 3 games next week, and they play Brooklyn, Utah, and Portland. So, yes, my answer is I would expect both of them to probably miss one game. I couldn't tell you which one, but given that they only have 3 games anyway, that would bring them down to a 2-game week, so that's pretty rough. What was Chad's question? Oh, this is the Dayron question. Okay, so reason you're asking, considering a last-minute move for Klingon in your Dynasty League as I retool for next year, but ideally I'd have both if Sharp is actually going to have a role. Yeah, look, it's hard. He's one of those per-minute guys that may never have a role, honestly, because he's a little bit undersized. He's a good shot blocker, but I wouldn't call him a rim protector. He can shoot a little bit, but he doesn't. He's not elite in any one category. So it's hard to see him ever stepping into a permanent starting role, short of playing for the Nets and Claxton gets injured or something like that. I don't think anyone is going to sign him to be a starter. So for me, he probably maxes out at about 22 minutes, barring injuries or something like that. Shining Knight, welcome. Yes, and you did catch me before my surgery. I have to fast after dinner tonight. It's rude. I don't like fasting. So Chad, dangle Sharp's current usage to the team with Klingon as they head into the playoffs. Yeah, I think so. I'd love to see Sharp step into a bigger role, but there's a lot of players like him who we would love from a fantasy perspective to move into a bigger role. But obviously, the coaches are not looking at this from a fantasy perspective. They want to, well, at least to start the season, they want to try and win, don't they? We'd hope so. All righty. I am going to get out of here and go and start getting ready for tomorrow. So, yes, no show tomorrow, probably no show the next day, maybe the next day. I will see how I am going. It will just depend on mobility and accessibility to the computer and things like that. Good luck if your playoffs end tomorrow. I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 semifinals that end tomorrow, and I'm potentially, it's probably one I'm not going to win. I don't think I can beat Kayla in a trial league that I did. There's a chance I win the others, but again, it's going to come down to Walker Kessler and if he plays and blocks and So we'll see how we go. But give me a couple of days. I will try and be back. Daniel Paisley has one more question. Do I think Misi returns next game? I think he's close. He was questionable for this one and ruled out. So I think, I think he'll be close. And thank you. Yes, I will keep my head up for the surgery recovery. I've had this surgery before on the other knee, so I do know what I'm in for. This one's a little bit more complicated, but yeah, I'm good. I can work from home. I can watch basketball, can't I? So I'll be good. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Please go and download and like and do everything. And I will be back in a couple of days, hopefully. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.